You're listening to DraftKings Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
If you want us to stick to format or the way that the show used to be within the corporate confines of ESPN, then this would be the first hour of the national radio show right now, as we've sort of broken through some of the boundaries. No advertising, too much freedom. We will get back at some point here to doing the show as you remember hearing it, instead of just roaming all over the place talking about ourselves and being super, super narcissistic about. I said the other day that I'm talking about this so much because it's consuming my every waking hour, but my every waking hour is every hour because there are no non-waking hours, because we're building a business in real time and we're not that kind of company. So this is the first hour of the national radio show, but it bleeds into what we were just talking about in terms of, if you listen in the order of local hour and Big Suey, I've wanted to get to a legitimate sports story that ESPN would have wanted me to be talking for 2 days about, because that Breeze Brady game, even though it wasn't itself magnificent, was theater of the greatest sports kind, with two of these mythological titans at the greatest position in America's most popular sport being watched like a Super Bowl by America after a pandemic, because we're all hanging on to our youth the way those two guys are hanging on to their youth at a time in America when the country feels sick and our mortality feels more threatened than it ever has been. Here are these two age-old guys, these titans, back to the days of George Bland and Johnny Unitas, two warrior leaders who ruled the world. The game's rules changed to protect their physical bodies so they could be the stars of a sport where everyone is disposable. Everyone else is disposable, but that position we must protect, the white position. The arguments we have about whether a white quarterback or a black quarterback being shattered in real time by scramblers who redefine the position, whether it's Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, or Kyler Murray, or the young guys coming for the old guys, but not yet. Not yet. Not yet, motherfuckers. Not yet. Because at the top of the food chain, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, still going to the facility 18 hours a day. Tom Brady doing God knows what to keep his body that way, legal or illegal. God knows what Tom Brady is doing, so that Trevor Price is saying something like, when I tackle Ben Roethlisberger, it's like shards of glass. When I tackle Tom Brady, it's like being absorbed into water. Somehow this mythological God, who ages differently than the rest of them, married to a supermodel and the second greatest earner in his house, that guy goes to Tampa, where people go to retire, and he's back in these goddamn games. And he's back in these goddamn games again. The games that matters, the only ones he's played. 19 years in the league, 14 conference championships. He just ended Drew Brees. Whether you think wins are a team sport or not a quarterback stat, like, he just wins forevermore. It doesn't even matter. He doesn't have to win the two games that are next. The fact that you're thinking about that he might is the greatest testament to any winner we have known in our lives, Michael Jordan included, because he just did it in a different order. Michael Jordan lost, and then won everything consecutively. Tom Brady has done across 20 years what Michael Jordan did across 10.
Before he got to the Bucks, 4-12, 7-9, 4-12, 2-14, 6-10, 5-11, 5-11, 7-9, and now they're a game away from playing in a Super Bowl. It's incredible. The only thing that's changed is Tom Brady. Do you think Aaron Rodgers is sitting there because he finally has home field, Lambeau Field, and he's like, Jesus, man, that guy's got to come waltzing in here?
The thing that stunned me the most that I saw this season was Brady kick Rodgers' ass. It's the worst game.
It'll
that
beat him good.
I don't know who's going to win this game. Like, you know, I've got rooting interests here. I've been fanboying for Aaron Rodgers as the best I've ever seen. But this is the thing about it, Stu Gatz. The thing I was trying to say before as we talk about this, when you talk about what excellence, how you arrive at excellence at the top of the ecosystem in a survival of the fittest world that is, in the cases of football and basketball, really fights over money in the inner cities. Like, that's what you're watching. And in that, you're watching it in a gladiator sport. And Tom Brady and Drew Brees reside at the top of that frenzy. And Drew Brees is objectively excellent and great at what he does. And here comes the mythological king of our times telling you that it doesn't look difficult for me because I'm beautiful and it's easy for me and I don't age like the rest of you, as Aaron Rodgers, fanboying 10 years on the air at ESPN, me, Stu Gatz, who doesn't fanboy about anybody because right. I'm like, good Lord, the craftsman and the sculpting of what that guy has done to the position, best I've ever seen, period, better than Tom Brady, but wins are not a quarterback stat. And Tom Brady, as Aaron Rodgers, best I've ever seen, one championship. That's one. Phillip Rivers.
None.
Our lifetime. Like, our Phillip Rivers plays in another time and is the best quarterback we've ever seen. Played in a time where he plays with Eli Manning, gets a couple bad bounces, is better than Eli Manning. But Phillip Rivers across 20 years, pretty damn great.
That draft class had Eli, Ben Roethlisberger, and Phillip Rivers. He might be better than both of those guys, Phillip Rivers. Think about that. And those guys have the rings.
At one point, Phillip Rivers was a young spark plug coming for Tom Brady's stuff.
Okay, so now please, because this is what I'm telling you in terms of these moments that really come up and make sports feel good, because it actually does feel like it's tied into the fabric of what's happening in America and can't be separated, no matter your politics, no matter how much you try to keep politics out of sports and sports out of politics. The reason that was fascinating is a mythological story, Stu Gatz, because you're seeing what I'm about to tell you, which is Phillip Rivers, objectively great, just retired, a quarterback for our times, like a quarterback families will remember because they cheered for that guy. And he was great. Zero championships and really rarely got even close to where Tom Brady has been 14 of 19 years. But hold on. Lest you think that that resume list is not enough. Aaron Rodgers, one championship. Phillip Rivers, no championships. He just ended the dude who has all the compiling stats in the sport. And that dude, because of an onside kick that has made Sean Payton a coach for 10 years who gets to be a genius. One. Between the three of those quarterbacks, the quarterbacks in our lifetime, of our lifetime, two total championships. And here's Tom Brady, a mother bleeping again with Rivers, yeah, you're retired. Get out of here, whippersnapper who came for my stuff. Breeze, I retired you too. And now I'm coming for Rodgers and Mahomes.
Breeze, Rodgers, and Manning, if you want to throw Peyton in there as a quarterback of our lifetime, four Super Bowls. Brady has six. It's absurd.
He has gotten more lottery tickets than anybody else. That, to me, is his legacy, because in one game samples, anything can happen. We've even seen Tom Brady lose to Nick Foles in a one game sample in the most important game. The fact that Aaron Rodgers has only been to one of those, he's only had one lottery ticket. Drew Brees has only been to one of those. He played in the same conference. As bummed as I am, Sunday is going to be exciting. We finally get to see Brady versus Rodgers in an important playoff game. I always wanted to see that in the Super Bowl with prime Brady, prime Rodgers. I'll take this, but he played in a conference with prime Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning only made it to three Super Bowls.
It's crazy.
Made it to three.
It's insane. What I love about this weekend so much is you have that matchup over there and then two young guns on the other side. And maybe the greatest ever.
But Stu Gatz, listen, when you talk about greatest ever, I just want people to allow it to marinate in terms of what kind of greatness you're watching. Because we talk about Brady so much, and I don't feel like we talk about this part of it enough. Because, again, Stugatz, he makes it look so easy. In our town, Chris, your father can speak to this. Dan Marino was Mahomes in Miami once upon a time. Dan Marino was what Mahomes we all assume will be with. Oh, he's going to be there for 10 years, right? He's going to, for 10 years, he's going to be playing for the championship.
Every year, I thought.
Dan Marino, as, you know, their chief rival was the Bills, and the Bills, it's taken them 17 years to get up. It's taken the Miami Dolphins 20 years to get up from the time that they had these great quarterbacks. Dan Marino went to one. He went to one. The stories, famously in Miami, are of him taking a tuxedo out of that last Super Bowl loss to Joe Montana, who was Tom Brady before Tom Brady. He's got, Joe Montana was the king slayer of all these young bucks back then. The dry cleaning bag. He's still got the tux in the dry cleaning bag as he leaves the loss at the Super Bowl. But we all assumed, oh, he'll have another chance to wear one of those, right? He was still in the dry cleaning bag. That was the symbolism. Yes. The art of it was, well, he'll be doing that for the next 15 years, taking that tux to that party. One. Like, you've got to be kidding me that Tom Brady's still out here at 43 years old, still the Kingslayer, and now coming for the two guys. If this is Game of Thrones, this is the old warrior coming. These are two indisputably, those are the best. Though if Mahomes does beat Josh Allen, those are the best in America's gladiator sport.
If he runs this, I said it earlier, he should retire, but he won't.
He won't.
And why would you?
And why would you? But you're right, though, Stugatz. If he can end it that way,
yeah,
he punctuates it the way that Michael Jordan should have when he made the jump shot over Byron Russell. Like, he punked. If Tom Brady goes out with 1 year of, I don't think he can do it because he's too, like, obsessed with the obsessive compulsive grind.
Yes.
And he really values the fact. He really values in taking care of his body and, like, not eating whatever, a strawberry ever, because he's eating a very specific diet meant to keep him from not aging.
Right.
If this dude wins these next two games. If he wins these next two games,
Breeze, Rodgers, Mahomes,
and then retires, it will end the discussion on who's the greatest winner of our times, or should. Like, people will still do the Michael Jordan thing, but it can't be. That's football. I just told you how hard it's. If you've got the best player in basketball, you're going to do some winning unless Michael Jordan and LeBron James are in your way. But to go to another team, absent Belichick, for Belichick to show you, oh, I can't do this with just any quarterback, for Belichick to not make the playoffs in 20 years, and then for Brady to run that gauntlet without Belichick, like, of course, retire right on the spot.
Belichick couldn't do it with a former MVP who went to a Super Bowl.
What if Josh Allen does this? Oh. What if Josh Allen takes out Philip Rivers, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, and either Brady or...
Wow.
Great point, Phil.
And,
you're right.
And you're right. And then I will have to adjust from being the most wrong on Tom Brady to being the most wrong on Josh Allen, who I actually criticized as terrible.
The only way you win is with Rodgers winning.
Please, Aaron. Please, dear Aaron, save me from this.
I'm surprised it has not come up yet that J-Lo in the middle of inauguration shouted, "Let's get loud."
I saw that on, I honestly didn't see her performance. When I saw that on Twitter, I was like, that has to be a joke, right? That's just like a J-Lo joke people are making.
I couldn't believe I nearly fell out of my chair.
Can you recreate it for me? I didn't see it.
She's in the middle of singing. What was it? So she goes, I can't even remember. It's like, you know,
in the middle of the line,
shed his grace on thee, and then like she stops, let's get loud. I'm like, what?
No, she said it after she said the latter half of the Pledge of Allegiance, and she sang it.
I don't remember. Yeah, it was just like literally like, just in the middle of it, hits a big note, it's a crescendo, and then just shouts, let's get loud.
Chris, when you say sing.
That's fair.
So she sang it
to her shouting voice.
Okay. She sang it at a recording studio. They made it sound great. There was that one time that she spoke into the microphone in Spanish to let everybody know that, oh, wait, no, that voice actually doesn't sound like that, and then goes back to the track. But it's as beautiful as her voice has ever sounded.
Yeah.
Oh, it took a little bit of sweetening, so yeah.
So you think in the recording studio she shouted, "Let's get loud"?
Was that
the improv?
She sang it, I think,
on top of the track.
I think she sang that part in the recording studio. I think that that's like the Super Bowl halftime show. It's so regimented.
Somehow not the worst lip sync, though. That belongs to John Bon Jovi on the inauguration special from a pier in Dania Beach.
Who is this for exactly?
Who's it? She probably got killed two birds with one stone. She probably did a Super Bowl halftime show while she was doing the actual inauguration song at the same time.
Did you see Garth Brooks almost completely ignore Kamala? He goes up to Biden, shakes his hand, makes a beeline for Pence, shakes his hand, and then it's like, all right, I'm out of here. Oh, wait, sorry. And he had to like go back and like, oh, sorry, you too.
He wasn't wearing a mask. He's hugging people. Yeah. I'm like, stop hugging people. That's Obama. Get away from him.
No, I didn't know what time the inauguration was at. And I like was like, wait, is this now? So I turned it on and like everything was done already. And I was just kind of watching all the like people walk off. And my takeaway was, man, these rich people, honestly, you get custom everything. Can you guys get custom masks that fit you comfortably? Because everybody's mask was falling off their face or didn't fit their chin. It's like, of all the custom things you could get a mask that just fits you comfortably so you don't look like a fool.
I had George W. Bush as a -4,000 favorite for his mask to be falling under his nose. And surprisingly, it was Bill Clinton.
Clinton's the one that I saw. I'm like, dude, you can't get a mask that fits you properly, like that matches what you're wearing or whatever. Like, come on.
Billy, as someone that enjoys like all the royal weddings, did you enjoy the pomp and circumstance of Inauguration Day? Because it became a fashion show out of nowhere, unexpected. Monochromatic is back.
Well, everyone was wearing purple. You also had Lady Gaga, who had the massive pin that was
the Hunger Games
holding an olive branch. It was very important. That was a dove. I mean, how like on the nose can you be?
That is redundant. Billy, did you notice the monochromatic theme from all the outfits? Everybody was like a color in the rainbow, and also Garth Brooks' hair plugs.
Was it like a fashion change thing from like morning to like the events at night? Because I didn't see a lot of it because I don't know if we're recording or not. But
we are.
I didn't know what time it started at, and I tuned in when it was over, and I was like, I should have. I thought it was a mid-afternoon thing, not like an early morning thing. So I missed the beginning. And then at night, I was like, oh, there's something that's supposed to be, oh, there's like concerts and stuff going on tonight, but the challenge is on. So like maybe tomorrow or a recap.
I took a bunch of notes on just fashion takeaways because there were a lot of wardrobe changes, none more shocking or stark than Melania Trump's arrival at West Palm International. A dress straight out of the 60s. That's a Jackie Onassis type of dress that she was wearing, and it really just radiated. Well, I'll leave it there. It radiated.
How about the petty though, that even on the last day, Trump is trying to call in a late checkout. Like on the last day, you gotta do something that morning because you know Biden can't even have the day. No, America, I'm not going to allow you to just have this day of hope and freedom. I'm going to sit in this corner in my red hat and just shit on this corner. And Twitter's not going to send it out. And maybe YouTube will now show it. And look, I find all that stuff dangerous. I really hate the idea, of corporations shutting down any kind of speech like that. Even as I understand the difficult decision, you can't allow a guy like that to incite violence. And when you read some more of the details on what that Nazi oath party was, when you read the details of some of the militia people that could have done some real damage to government, to power, to democracy, to freedom, incited by the racist orange turd. Like, it was a good, feel-good day yesterday for America, and he couldn't even let us have that. He was over there shitting on the carpet in the corner.
How about Tom Hanks not wearing a coat, though?
I was going to say, but what did we think of Melania's dress? Back to that for a moment. Did we like it? Did it make a statement?
It made a statement.
Is it going to make the what's the museum that has all the dresses of the first ladies? What an exhibit, huh? Have you guys seen that one?
Oh, I have been to that. Where did I see that?
I think it is, it can't be. I'll get back to you on this.
You just petered out. Like, you petered out on the fashion stuff. Please.
Well, because I don't think that it's the American history one. It's one of the specific.
It is at the National Museum of American History.
Okay, there you go. Because I thought that it was out of place because I felt like I stumbled across and was like,
this shouldn't be in the Natural History Museum. Why are we looking at this here? But I was wrong.
Can you guys please explain to me? Because I was just watching mostly CNN, and I just saw rolling across the bottom of the screen Springsteen, and I'm like, yes, of course, Springsteen is going to come out here and be born in the USA. And Bon Jovi looked like an old woman. Yeah. I kept marveling at the scroll of how much Bon Jovi looked like an old woman. And so I just wanted to ask you, because I'm an old person, where was this music playing? Because I was just getting droning, repetitive coverage. I wasn't getting all of these great artists, Bon Jovi, Old Woman, and Bruce Springsteen doing music somewhere around there.
Celebrating America was a multi-network event that started at 8:30, and it was hosted by Tom Hanks, which was a very high-level troll of QAnon, because Tom Hanks, by QAnon supporters, is believed to be one of these pedophiles that drinks blood and is getting Greek citizenship because he can apparently drink more baby blood there.
Satan worshiper as well. Just so people understand, the movement in America that threatened freedom, this is a thing that happened in America, in our country, and in America that I thought was better than this. QAnon is led by the belief that everything that was happening around Trump was being led by cannibalistic, pedophile, devil worshiping. Okay? That's the movement that got that close to attacking freedom, just so that you're clear on how delicate and fragile democracy must be if this group of Nazi oafs, and I'm sorry that any 90-year-old out there who actually experienced the Holocaust saw that in this America before leaving this earth. I'm like mortified that such a stupid thing could attack such a precious thing. But you guys are right to talk about the fashion and the music.
I mean, the dress was shocking from Melania. It was a pattern that I didn't think that we'd see ever again, Billy.
I was just going to say, just a quick clarification on something that we discussed earlier. I believe what Lady Gaga was wearing is considered a brooch, not a pin, because of its size. So,
well, thank you for clearing that up.
That's a good clarification. Yeah, no,
it's important. And I did appreciate the redundancies in that, Chris, as you pointed out.
Did you guys see the statement that the guy from QAnon put out? I thought someone made a really funny joke about it, which was, so this is a guy named Ron Watkins. He said, "We gave it our all. Now we need to keep our chins up and go back to our lives as best as we are able to. I'll have more to say in a few days regarding a new project I'm currently fleshing out." Yeah. It's like he's announcing some new podcast that he's going to do, like after he started this horrible conspiracy that nearly brought down the country.
Well, Trump did that too. It's not goodbye. And in between it's not goodbye and have a nice life, it was the hint that he might pop up somewhere. And there are all these reports that he's going to start the Patriot Political Party.
Hold on a second. How much do we shake people up, this left-leaning company, Portside? Let's go after him. Let's try and sign him to a podcast.
Oh, Trump?
No, not just Trump.
Ron Watkins from QAnon.
That's right. We got to start cheaper than Trump. Trump's going to be expensive right now.
But he's a fan of the show.
No, but if we go QAnon founder, if that's our first release, Levitard and Friends with QAnon founder... Like, we need to do that. We're free agents. He's free agents. He's setting up his next gig. We'll have Masvidal all the time. We'll be allowed to have Masvidal. Like, here's one of the things I actually want to talk about. This one's interesting. This one, you guys, I've got to be careful around some of the ESPN language. So I am free to criticize the company when it is in the news. And I think it's in the news right now with the discomfort of Conor McGregor fighting on the network. Conor McGregor, big star. UFC making a lot of money for ESPN and Disney at a time that it's difficult during the pandemic because Disney's getting hit on all fronts, cruise ships, entertainment, layoffs. Like, you've got all of them, right? The parks, everything is shaking at a company that has been, you know, one of America's sturdiest for as long as any of us can remember and had to get in bed with the UFC to make some money on the side, with rights fees during a pandemic. And Dana White took a victory lap. Dana White took a victory lap over a whole bunch of MMA journalists and writers because, see, I showed you it could be done. A guy who was speaking at the Republican National Convention. So, given everything that's happened with us and just some of the discomforts in general about trying to do journalism when there are conflicts and how can there not be conflicts when you're in business with UFC but also need to report on UFC, and ESPN has always been a journalistic arm, even though it's not supposed to necessarily be a journalistic arm. It's just an entertainment company that has a journalistic arm. But sometimes, and you will hear this in South Beach sessions with concussions in the NFL, where John Skipper our new CEO arrived in a place where the conflicts arrived on his doorstep between being an independent storytelling editorial outlet and the business of publishing and making stuff with partners when you're doing journalism but have a conflict of interest because football and basketball are your partners. They're your corporate partners. And so you're doing journalism and you want to keep the content and the editorial away from the money making. But John Skipper looked around one day on the concussions issue and saw he was doing good reporting over here. And the NFL didn't like the good reporting over there about concussions. This is what you're going to find on South Beach Sessions. And he looked around and he's like, where's the conflict? Where's the conflict? Who's going to decide this conflict? And then he realized it was him. He had to decide the conflict. He was the last stop on where the conflicts go. And so today I ask you within the context of that to look at what is happening with this Conor McGregor story and the report. Mike, somebody reached out to me as a reporter. This is going to be bothersome here to some people. A Daily Beast reporter reached out to me. I do not know this person, but it's a story I think the audience will find interesting in terms of navigating these conflicts between journalism and business doing. And what he was asking me about Conor McGregor is, and I'm like, I can't talk about this. I'm not going to do interviews about this sort of stuff, is have you noticed that ESPN is not talking about his sexual assault case? It's calling it something else. It's not being called that on SportsCenter. I'll find the email, but that it's being called something that doesn't sound like a sexual assault case. And you remember when Floyd Mayweather, right, Mike, when Rachel Nichols and some others were objecting to Floyd Mayweather being able in the independent sport of boxing, where he's his own boss, keeping out women who were trying to do journalism because they demanded that he answer wife beating questions. And he's like, I don't have to do that. I don't have to respect your journalism. I'm a pay-per-view independent athlete. I play for no team. I have no partners. I'm my own business. If I want to say I like to beat women, then I'm going to say it because I'm not beholden to anybody.
Melania's dress cost $3,700. I just found it on Gucci. It's the Long G hexagon print wool silk dress. It's available on Gucci. As you can see, it has that hexagon pattern.
Mm-hmm.
A bit garish for that much money. No?
Yeah. If we live somewhere colder, I would buy Bernie Sanders mittens.
Oh, definitely. What a statement by him, huh? With what he was wearing. Those mittens looked almost like oven mitts, not even like mittens. Mm-hmm. Also, I think that the surprise of the inauguration, he has a smartphone. Did you guys see that coming?
Yes. I've appreciated the memes. It's a testament to how easy the iPhone is and what a great invention it is if Bernie Sanders can use it.
Why did that catch the way that it caught? Why is it just the mittens? Is it because you could tell it was Bernie Sanders, but there were only like three wrinkles you could see somehow that, like, why did that catch the way that it did?
Because of his like just demeanor, he kind of looked like, I'm over this. I don't really want to be
such
here.
Such Larry David vibes. Such Larry David vibes.
Chris, thank you for bringing me there because the closest thing we
You're
have
welcome.
Around here. Well, Chris, this does involve you. This does. I'm thanking Whittingham. If you're new to the proceedings, I said I was going to stop doing this, but Whittingham is coming for Chris Cody's stuff because he's getting in and out of small windows with information in a way that the oaf Chris Cody does not do. So there's a real tension here in the building. This happened last when Billy and Tony were threatened, where Chris wants to know, hey, where's my place in all this? As the corporate elbowing and stuff starts happening where everyone's trying to get closer to the top guy, the skipper, and Chris has decided that the way to do it is by calling him Skip. So this mm-hmm. is where we find ourselves with you and your father. You and me are in the wrong here. The audience has sided with your father on this, Chris, where they thought that you and me were too mean, and specifically me, and I fall on the wrong side of mean all the time with Cody. God, it's mortifying to me as someone who couldn't possibly love the man any more than I do. Like, it's not possible how much I love that guy, even though he frustrates me all the time. He is Larry David, and he's beat us on this one, Chris, because you and I know good and well. You and I, Mike is telling me that Cody's in a sensitive place. And Mike is telling me to back off on Cody because he was legitimately hurt about his last Back in My Day being serious. And he said it was heartfelt. It was about aging. And a lot of people really did like it. But you made a horrible, ashamed face. And then I had to get in there with the joke that you put in the chat of they can't all be winners. And I followed you, my beloved oaf. And the no, what do you mean no?
I just, my dad, he is just, he did one. It didn't go over well. And so when our reaction was criticizing it, he claimed that it was supposed to be a serious one. I am not falling for this. He has never in his life written a serious Back in My Day. He meant, maybe it's nostalgic, but they're all nostalgic.
Like, they're all talking about a different time in his life. He is just, I don't believe a word that was supposed to be and intended to be a serious
Well, let's, can we, I want to arbitrate this, and I don't know whether we do it with your mother or not, but I do really want to figure out who's right here. Because, Mike, I wanted to make fun of Greg Cody on Twitter yesterday, and you walked me back because you're like, look, this is a sensitive time for him. He seems to be legitimately hurt. But his own son is telling me, and this was led by his son yesterday accidentally. I didn't mean to do that to Chris. I didn't mean to hurt his old man because I was looking at Chris's face, and he went from ashamed to angry to finally saying, this is not a winner. This isn't any good.
Well, we didn't laugh. I judge it based off the Zoom, and he did that entire back in my day, and like there was not one time where the group was like laughing, and it okay. was just, I was speaking for the audience.
All right, but listen, your father did something about mortality, and the audience has rushed to his rescue, and they think that you and I are assholes. We're losing to Larry David right now.
Mortality? Chris, it was about comic books. Mortality? They're all about mortality. They're all about him being old.
Chris, you need to settle down, all right? You're unhinged, and as a rising executive, I need you to watch your tone. Chris Whittingham would never talk to me in such a fashion. You're being disrespectful of old people around here. So, just back off and calm down for a second as I try to be gentle with your father during a sensitive time.
I'm sorry.
He's feuding with... No, I want to get you on this subject, and then I want to get your mom involved because I don't know what's fair. The audience has sided with Greg Cody. And Chris, you know this to be a little bit of fraudulence from your dad because it's not like he's been wanting to write this heartfelt thing for months. You told him on Sunday when he begged you for a topic, you said, how about comic books?
Exactly. That's why I mean, I know more info, like we're inside with him. Like people that, they, and when you say that the audience sides with him, are you just basing that off of his text that said that? Like, I don't see the audience siding with him. I don't think people think that that was the greatest back in my day ever. We're allowed to have an, I'm doing it again. I'm being
Amin did the same thing though. Amin said I liked it. A whole lot of people were yelling at me, Chris, because they said they liked it and they side with your father. You keep arguing against this. And what I'm telling you is you're leading me into the breach here to fight against your father when the audience is siding with your father.
Another quick clarification. While we thought that Bernie Sanders was not making a statement with his fashion choice, we were wrong again. Bernie Sanders was wearing gloves that were made for him by a Vermont school teacher with repurposed wool sweaters and lined with fleece made from recycled plastic bottles.
Wow, that's a real winner right there.
Get over yourself.
Incredible. I've turned around on Melania's motif when she landed because this dress screams Florida. It also screams Syracuse orange. But either way, maybe a little expensive for my taste, it is an interesting design. Katy Perry's outfit for celebrating America, very patriotic, subtle, yet classy. Enough for the occasion. And also, if I'm a musician, I absolutely make one song for one thing because you're going to get money off of that forever. Firework needs to be played anytime fireworks are being shot into the sky. So I think collectively we need to find the one holiday that doesn't have a song we can make buku bucks. No, there isn't an Easter song that everybody knows, right?
What about New Year's?
Well, there's a little, whatever.
Yeah, all Frank I know that corner.
How about a
Thanksgiving?
Good
Thanksgiving Easter does song. Not have enough music.
Yeah.
An Easter song. That would be every gospel song ever.
Well, Thanksgiving, we're not going to beat the beans, potatoes, tomatoes lady like that. I think she's got that corner. Easter.
How about Chinooka?
Mm. Dreidel.
It's not the national anthem.
I'm
Jewish,
Chinooka.
Okay? And the joke was Chinooka. You're right. But I am telling you, there really is no national anthem for Chinooka, and there needs to be one. There is no
what
official.
What about Adam Sandler?
I was going to say Adam Sandler owns that corner.
Yeah, the Chinooka song.
How about a song for lunch?
Groundhog's Day has a movie, but not a song.
I like it.
Yeah, we should do Groundhog Day.
Mike, why do you continue at every turn as we get away from ESPN and you try to rise in this business? Why do you keep foisting upon this show some form of what's for lunch?
Might come back. You never know. I mean, I'm working on it.
No. Let's not. Wait a minute. Can we make some decisions around here out loud in front of people?
You said I'm in charge of sales, man.
No. Look, man, this has been a fight around here for too long. Like, please tell me that we're not moving so fast that we're not going to fall right back into the advertising trap of just doing live spots again.
Dan, it's my job as executive producer of this show to be forward thinking. Now, look, it's not my fault you decided to leave ESPN 3 years
and 11 months.
It's Chris's fault. Either way, you left 3 years and 11 months too late to enjoy the content fountain that was the Trump presidency. Now that he's out, a lot of people are going to have to reshape themselves. Including you, and not just in the physical way that you did during the pandemic. Dan, we can't be the show that continues to griff off Trump's legacy as president. By the way, he joined us back in 2013. Here's what he had to say.
On that note, can you fire my co-host on your way out the door, Stu Gotz? I know everyone requests this of you everywhere you go. Just fire Stu Gotz. Tell him he's fired.
Well, Stu Gotz, you are absolutely fired. You don't have it. There's no question about it. As a team, you're phenomenal, but individually, you're fired.
Thank you, Donald. Good talking to you.
Fellas,
thank you for making time
for us. You have a great show, too, and I really like it.
Thank you, sir. Don.
Have fun.
Don.
A lot changed, man, in 4 years. What happened?
I believed him, too.
What happened? What he charmed us with just a couple of bullshit lies. And next thing you know, we want the content of Donald Trump and America's on fire. Freedom is under siege and racism is burning.
Mike, right before he fired me, didn't he announce his candidacy on the show? I mean, I felt like he did.
I think Dan was like, you gotta run.
Pablo asked him, oh, please tell me there's no sound of that anywhere.
Yeah, it was your fault,
it'd be
Dan.
So fun. You'd
Thanks,
be so
Dan.
Great.
No,
it'd be so
tell me
dramatic.
That's not what happened.
Thank
oh,
you,
God.
Dan.
Oh, dear God.
Thank
no.
You,
no.
Dan.
No.
Thank you, Dan.
Oh, no. This really
BTW,
turned.
If you want to copy Bernie's look, you could get his Burden Edge comb jacket for $132.96.
Oh, wow. That's a steal.
Bargain.
Howdy, listeners. It's Mike. And you know, a lot has changed over the years. Just look at sports. There's instant replay, a three-point line. There were shifts and then not shifts. But one thing that hasn't changed over the course of all those things I just mentioned, the great taste of Miller Lite. That's right. It's so good. And it's also less filling. So what's the best thing about Miller Lite, the original light beer? Well, Miller Lite sparked this debate way back in 1975. We still haven't settled it. Be like me. I don't pick one. I like it because it's both. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality. Great taste. Only 96 calories. It's a beer that strips away everything that you don't need and holds on to what matters most. You don't have to choose what's best. Be like me. Say both. Miller Lite. Great taste. And is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.